It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. This is Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Monday, December 30th, 2013. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. The State Appeals Court on Friday reinstated charges of excessive fishing against a former state senator and two others. A wildlife officer in August 2009 cited former lawmaker Albert Kukesh, Democrat of Angoon, and others for catching more sockeye salmon than allowed under a subsistence fishing permit. The men challenged the citations, and a district court sided with the men. The court said the Board of Fisheries should have set limits and not delegated that authority to the Department of Fish and Game. The appeals court disagreed, saying the Board of Fisheries has the authority to enact regulations and delegate that authority. The cases against the fishermen will return to district court. On Saturday, about 100 Sitkins took a swim without wetsuits, dry suits, or survival suits, although one was in a Santa suit, in the Sitka Channel near the University of Alaska. The annual Polar Dip was sponsored by the Sitka High School National Honor Society. KCAW's Rich McClear was there and asked the only reasonable question a reporter could ask.
Why?
Why not?
I figured we leave this summer, so I figured it's like a last Alaska hurrah.
It's part of being crazy, Sitka.
And I was on the couch drinking coffee this morning thinking, it's time to stop. And then she called, and here I am.
It's a tradition! Tradition!
You know, the winter months, you're not doing much, but when you jump into freezing cold water, it feels like you've done something with your day.
It's a tradition. Oh. And this year we brought our exchange student from Mexico here. This is gonna be a new experience for her.
Are you going in?
Yes, I am. I'm really scared, but I am.
Why?
I don't know. It's something new, and the exchange is for trying new experience.
Because it's my duty as an Alaskan to go into this water.
You remember when I took the mite into the polar dip with me, and my voice went up as the water went up? So I'm expecting you to do the same in the interest of journalistic reporting and the tradition.
No, I maintain my journalistic objectivity. If I were a participant, I could not objectively cover the report.
You want me to take the mic in the water again as I go in?
Eric Jordan decided he would not take the microphone into the water this time, but at exactly high noon, Eric and about 100 other dippers and one dog ran down the boat ramp into the water. The fire department had hosed down the ramp before the event. According to one of the paramedics on hand, the biggest danger from the event was swimmers cutting their feet on barnacles. And while some people wore footwear, a good number were barefoot. The department also deployed rescue divers in dry suits, just in case. Most of the polar dippers went up to the chest, made a quick turn, got out quickly, and made for the warming tent set up by Sitka Community Hospital, or to the hot cocoa. I caught some of the dippers as they came out of the water with one question. How cold was it?
Oh, brother.
Really cold. I can't even talk.
It was pleasantly cool.
Very cold.
Actually, not that bad this year. And it was nice and warm when you got out. I loved it.
Just jump in and jump out. And there's a warming tent? How cushy?
Icy cold.
My hands were freezing.
I think it was warmer in the water than out here in the air today with the wind. It was nice.
That was Dirk White's opinion. The dip happened at noon. While there was a little talking and socializing after the event, there was not too much of it. By 12:09, many of the dippers were huddled in warm cars waiting in line to leave the parking lot. I checked with the fire department to make sure there were no injuries. All good, one of the paramedics said. And along with almost everyone else, I was out of the parking lot by 12:14. In Sitka, out of the rain and in a warm studio, I'm Rich McClear.
You can see a video of the annual Sitka Polar Dip on our website, kcaw.org. And the warm, dry weather of the summer of 2013 might be just the beginning of an overall trend toward a different sort of climate in Southeast Alaska. Drier in summer and warmer and wetter in winter. In Juneau recently, researchers met to try and understand what the region might look like in 70 years if this trend continues, its impact on everything from salmon fisheries to us. KTOO's Matt Miller reports.
Latest projections suggest that the temperature for Southeast Alaska and western British Columbia coast would increase just over 6 degrees to an average of under 44 degrees Fahrenheit in the year 2080. Precipitation in the form of rain would increase over 20 inches to 145 inches, while snowfall could drop about 30% to about 30 inches a year.
There could be some serious differences.
Michael Goldstein with the U.S. Forest Service was among a group of researchers who briefed attendees on the unpublished research at the recent Southeast Alaska Watershed Symposium in Juneau. A similar presentation was made during the recent ALCAN Summit organized by the Juneau World Affairs Council. Goldstein says the changes in temperature and precipitation would not be uniform throughout Southeast Alaska and Western British Columbia.
So temperature and precipitation had the greatest change in the northern mainland and the least change in the southern island provinces, and precipitation as snow had the greatest change in southern mainland and the least change in the outer coast.
It could mean warmer and drier extended summers and warmer and wetter winters.
By 2080, we could lay this out. Juneau could be like Prince Rupert, projected average of 45 degrees Fahrenheit or thereabouts is similar to the average temperature of May 2013. And I was looking around the internet. Alabama has an average winter temperature of 45 degrees as well.
The projections were presented in conjunction with separate research and modeling done by Colin Shanley, a planner and analyst with the Nature Conservancy in Juneau, in his effort to identify salmon habitat, ranging from the most vulnerable to the most resilient.
This is a watershed-based analysis. It's not a cell-based analysis or an estuary-based analysis.
Dr. Sanjay Pierre, Associate Professor of Geography and Environmental Science at the University of Alaska Southeast, says climate change could play a crucial role in altering stream temperatures and episodic discharges from area glaciers and the ice field.
If you look at the overall discharge coming out of an area like Southeast Alaska and northern British Columbia annually compared to a place like the Mississippi River Basin, it's actually something like two times the overall freshwater discharge. Obviously, it has a much smaller landmass overall, so there's a lot of water coming down the pipes here in a place like Southeast Alaska.
Watersheds that are predominantly glacial-fed may, for example, have their peak discharge in midsummer with cold water. Snow- or rain-fed watersheds may have two discharge peaks in the spring and early fall. So what does this all mean for Southeast Alaska? The research suggests that an increase in water temperature and rainfall levels brought on by climate change could alter the discharge timing and raise the summer water temperature of formerly glacial-fed watersheds. The Forest Service's Mike Goldstein also expects that alpine temperatures will eventually exceed current subalpine temperatures. Along with a third decrease in the accumulated snowfall, he says that could raise the elevation of the tree line by as much as 600 feet and, referring to research by others, raise the lower subalpine boundary by 1,200 feet. Goldstein suggests that there would not be a significant increase in fire danger, but there may be an increase in number and severity of insects and disease.
Projected increases in temperatures could expand lowland forest habitats during winter. So ungulates, for example, could have reduced energetic costs if there's no deep, deep snow to go through. So there's a lot of different implications out there. A longer growing season may increase food availability for wildlife in the spring. So that's on one hand. But on the other hand, we clearly understand there could be some timing issues, right? Rusty blackbirds eating dragonflies coming out later. Rusty blackbirds not having higher nest success because there's no food source when the chicks are being reared.
Goldstein points to other research demonstrating that Auk Creek has already shown a change in salmon run timing 2 weeks earlier over the last 30 years. UAS's Sanjay Pierre says a few degree change in water temperature could alter the growth and development of salmon at various points of its life cycle.
It's critically important in particular to younger stages, juvenile stages. So we know that incubation times are well known to be inversely related to stream temperature. And stream temperature, through its effects on development, accelerating or slowing down basically the size of juveniles, can impact out-migration times. So warmer temperatures influences out-migration or can accelerate out-migration.
It can also be important in adult migration.
These are watersheds across Southeast that are exhibiting some evidence of run timing shifts in adults.
And the Nature Conservancy's Colin Shanley says another big worry among fishery biologists includes changes in discharge flows.
With this transition from snow-fed watersheds to rain-fed watersheds, we're going to see more rain-on-snow events, higher flows, more scouring of salmon roe. So salmon roe getting kicked up out of the gravel before they have time to incubate.
While some streams would blink off as productive salmon habitat because of climate change, others could very well blink on. Streams that currently do not have any salmon runs could someday become productive with subtle changes in temperature or discharge flow. Besides the possible implications on salmon productivity and management, the researchers acknowledge that they may only be touching the terminus of the glacier, so to speak, when it comes to researching the effects of climate change in Southeast Alaska and Western British Columbia. There are a variety of other potential implications on everything from municipal planning of streamside setbacks to managing hydroelectric facilities and tourism operations. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
And that's all for Raven News for this morning. We're coming up on 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka. It's 42 degrees in downtown Sitka. Intermittent rain and wind. You can expect rain today, heavy at times with highs around 45. Southeast winds 15 to 25 miles per hour, gusting to 35, and then becoming southwest 5 to 15 miles per hour in the late morning and afternoon. Rain tonight with lows around 38 and southwest winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. And rain showers are likely tomorrow with highs around 42 and southeast winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. Coming up on Morning Edition at 8:18, I'll have a live local interview with you with Braveheart volunteers about their New Year's Eve donor and supporter celebration and their regular grief support. Coming up today, Parent Taught Swim will be at 10:30 a.m. at the Blatchley Pool. Cost is $5 for a parent and a child. And grief support at Braveheart Volunteers will be 6 to 7:30 p.m. tonight at the Pioneers Home Manager's House. Call 747-4600 if you'd like more information or listen to our interview at 8:18. Stay with us. Good morning.